Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we look at our gospel lesson for today, we see just how important holy matrimony is to the one who created it. For in the beginning, when God made man, when he formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, as we've been studying in Bible study on Sunday mornings, he breathes life into this man, and then he plants him in the Garden of Eden, this garden of paradise, where he will work. God then sends the animals past Adam that he might know that he has dominion, lordship over them. He says, name these animals, and whatever you name them, they shall be named. And after Adam sees all of these animals, likely with their own spouse, if you will, in the animal kingdom, male and female, God declares it is not good that man should be alone. And so he declares, I will make a help meet for him. I will create a helper that will assist him in this life. And so he causes the man to fall asleep. And in his sleep, he takes from his side a rib. And from that rib, he forms the very first woman. The woman whom Adam will also name Eve. The mother of all the living. It is not good that the man should be alone. For if the man were completely alone, if he was not given a spouse, a wife, how would the human race continue? No, it was not good that man should be alone. There are still some cases today where God has given the abundance of the spiritual gift of celibacy. That is, where a man or a woman does not desire the company of the opposite sex, but that is an exception to the general rule. No, marriage is still good. God provided a wife for Adam. He brought her to be with him in that very first wedding. A man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife. The two becoming one flesh, never to be separated. That is how God created marriage. That the man and the woman would spend eternity praising God in the joy of each other's company. That would be ordered around his desires, that is, God's. That children would be a blessing, a fruit of that union. But you know what happens shortly thereafter. The Adam, the man, is given a fruit from his wife. The woman whom God had created to be his helper has now listened to the voice of the devil and instead is his hindrance. That she sees this fruit that God had commanded unto Adam not to eat of. Now his wife has heard the voice of Satan, and she listens to him instead. She looks at the fruit and says, after all, why not? Why shouldn't I have this? God just doesn't want me to be like him. After all, that's what the devil told me. So she eats. She gives some to her husband who is with her, and instead of protecting him as God had given him to do, he takes and eats as well. Sin enters into the world. Death and decay are a result of that. And while God has made holy matrimony as a beautiful blessing, sin has impacted that as well. Now, sinful men and women treat marriage as though it does not matter. The government believes it can somehow redefine what God has set up. And we don't believe that marriage truly is a lifelong union anymore. That's what the world would have you believe. But the church, as the bride of our bridegroom Christ, knows how important it is to cleave unto that groom. The church cleaves to Christ as husband and wife are to cleave to one another, in unity, in lockstep, acknowledging that there is an order to it, that the groom is the head, and the bride exists to carry out his orders. Not necessarily in a military way, no, but in a way that is united. United around the one who is truly given the orders, God himself. God has created holy matrimony in the beginning as a beautiful, wonderful blessing. A blessing by which procreation would happen. In Bible study this morning, we talked about the fact that it is a miracle each and every time a child is conceived. But it happens so often, every second, that sometimes we forget just how beautiful and wonderful that truly is. Every single life that the Lord has given you is a blessing from Him. It is a gift, it is a present, it is to be rejoiced in. But sin has its effects there too. Life that is knit together by God is destroyed. It does not see the fruition that God had created for it. Some women choose to willingly end that gift. Others don't choose to, and yet it is taken from them in miscarriage, in stillbirth, and so we cry out. God, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy on me. God is the author of this beautiful gift, and yet because of sin, it doesn't always see what God has created it for. But for those who have, we are to remember that we are to follow the Word. We are to follow God. We are to follow what He has to say, not what the world has to say. We are to follow His love, His joy, His blessings, not the curses of this world. God so loves marriage that He creates it and He sustains it. He is the one who brings a godly husband and a godly wife together and knits them in that one flesh union. He is the one who is the very foundation of these gifts. He is the one to which husbands and wives, when they fail each other, and you know you will because you are a sinful person, that they fail, but they fall on Jesus. That they remember that Jesus has borne their sins. He has carried them to the cross. A husband and a wife are not perfect. Even the one who was created without sin failed his wife in that respect. We must work even harder, but we have a reason to have hope. If it was so bad, women would not be given in marriage and men would not take in marriage, but it is not to that point. Marriage is still a gift. It is still a beautiful, wonderful gift. Children are still created. Children are still born, and we give thanks to God for that. Jesus himself attends this marriage in which his first open sign will be given. His mother, who is also there, sees that they have run out and that her neighbor has a need. And so, who is she to go to? She knows just the one who can provide all things. She knows exactly who she needs to pray to. And so she does not pray to herself, rather she goes to the only hope of salvation. She lays the petition of her neighbor down at her son's feet and trusts that he will do that which is necessary. And she trusts it so completely that when he says, "It's not yet my time," he goes to the servants and she says, "Whatever he says, do that." She so trusts him. She knows that he will do exactly what is best. And so Jesus, who has come just as a guest, has come to bring all things to fruit. He turns that water into wine. He blesses the gift of marriage. Jesus should be a part of every marriage. There is a reason why we encourage people to get married in the church. Because Jesus is even the focus on that day. Because the fact is the beauty of the bride will fade. The muscles of the husband will fade. But Jesus Christ stands forever. So even on a wedding day, the focus is still on Jesus, who will never fade away. His beauty continues, and his strength is always sure. It is important that if you are not yet married, that young people pray for a godly spouse, that they would seek out encouragement from their parents, from people who are married as Christian husbands and wives, to know what they are to look for. Too often, when we let our heart or our flesh chase after things, we chase after that which is not good for us. Rather, we should follow what God says. We'll let Him bring the godly husband or the godly wife that He has set for us. Marriage is truly beautiful, but marriage is very, very hard. You need Jesus. You need Jesus because as a husband, you will fail your wife. You will fail to protect her. You will fail to provide for her. You will fail to listen to the reason that God will often use through her. And when you chase after those things that God has not given you, stop. Return to the foot of the cross and cry out for His mercy and confess your sins to her. As a wife, you will fail your husband. There will be times that you believe that you should lead instead of follow. There will be times when you will find a man who will listen to you better than he seems to listen to you. And when you seek out to follow after that man instead of the man that God has given to you, stop and cry out to God for His forgiveness and confess your sins to your husband. A Christian spouse confesses. A Christian spouse forgives. A Christian spouse repents. That is, turns from the sin. It is not enough to be caught in adultery to just continue in adultery. Repentance means that you leave it behind. That which your body craves is subjected to the cross of Christ. That you crucify that lust, that sinful desire. The woman that's on that screen is not given to you by God. Look instead to the one who has been and rejoice in the Lord's gifts. Yes, the world has corrupted so many of these things because of sin. And the devil has an opposite plan than God does. But trust in the Lord. Trust in the one who has made all things beautiful, all things good, and that He gives the forgiveness of sins. He has won that forgiveness in His cross. He distributes that forgiveness in the font. He distributes that forgiveness in His marriage feast, which we are blessed enough to receive this very morning. That when we eat the body and drink the blood that are in with and under the bread and wine, this is the foretaste of that feast. That we look forward to everlasting life when we will sup at His table for all eternity. Yes, we give thanks to God for the gift of marriage, and as the Lord wills, the gift of children through that gift of marriage. There are so many things that we need to turn back over to the Lord, our lives being chief. Jesus does this sign to show how much He loves what He has created. Jesus loves you so much, and He asks that you would follow Him. And so, as Christian husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, we follow him. And we sing, O bless that house, it prospers well, in peace and joy the parents dwell. And in their children's lives is shown how richly God can bless his own. Then here will I and mine today a solemn promise make and say, though all the world forsake his word, I and my house will serve the Lord. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.